Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, a.k.a. your favorite Star Wars character, Snap Wexley, and you are right where you need to be, listening to yet another amazing episode of the Black Squadron podcast.
All right, welcome back, Black Squadron Podcast, I think episode 73, I don't even know at this point, but I'm BP and not joined by Todd or Darth Mari this week. Special episode this time, not doing the usual format. This is a little bit of an interview, I guess. So I brought in the guys from the Rogues of Mandalore costuming group. I'm not even sure what the official name is. So Liam, this is Liam and Tom.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you?
So, fellas, I guess let's start with what the hell is Rogues of Mandalore?
So, Rogues of Mandalore, we are a costuming organization. We are film affiliated, similar to the 501st Mandalorian Mercs, other assorted clubs of that nature. This club was started as a means by which to level the playing field for people and provide a sense of community and support for people who have certain medical needs that would need to be accommodated in a build, have accommodations for budgetary reasons. Really, this was a costuming organization started with the focus of the enjoyment of the build and letting people build to the best of their abilities, whatever those abilities are, just have fun with it.
Awesome. I know people who listen to our show know I'm a maker and a cosplayer, and I think I mentioned that I was going to try to build a Mandalorian costume myself and look into joining some of the other groups. And whilst looking into those other groups, I found you guys. And awesome. Immediately, the Sense community was there, like immediately from joining the Discord.
Yeah, so we had a good group of people.
Yeah, and that wasn't my experience in the past with some other groups in our community. So it was a welcome change. And so thanks you guys for creating a community that's so inclusive.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm really sorry to hear you didn't have a good intro. The community there, that's unfortunately we hear that a lot, and I think that part of the reason why people come to the Rogues and join the Rogues, stay in the Rogues and hang out is everyone's really nice and accepting. I mean, it's baked right into our mission statement, helping people build their costumes, letting them build with whatever means they have, and trying to just make a space where everyone feels welcome, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, immediately. so much so that I draw for tops. I do sketch cards that I decided I wanted to give back to the group and draw a couple kits. And I'll show you guys now. You haven't seen these yet.
No. Oh, shoot. Those are so awesome, dude.
Those are rad.
Holy cow.
So hey, you got my favorite. Having a real hard time not keeping this one.
Yeah, no, that's pretty awesome. Thank you, dude. That's so cool. I've always wanted a trading card, so it's like the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll get these. I'll get them mailed out to you guys as soon as I can make myself do it.
Thanks, dude. No worries.
Thank you, man.
Really appreciate it.
I got a couple more. One more I need to draw.
Who is it?
Put the rest out. Discount Mando.
Oh, right on. Awesome, dude.
Yeah, so it'll be the last one that I do for free.
Cool.
So, Star Wars. You guys obviously are big Star Wars fans if you decided to, A, build a costume, and B, start a group. So, what was the inspiration for your individual suits? Like, why did you pick what you picked?
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You can go first, Doc.
Did you go first last time? Is that why you're letting me go first?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So I wanted to, much like Liam, I wanted to do a cowboy-inspired Mandalorian. My favorite video game of all time is Red Dead Redemption 2, and I love the aesthetic of a lot of those characters, primarily Dutch Vanderland is just like the slimiest piece of crap, and I love that. I love slimy, kind of morally ambiguous characters. So I wanted to do a Mandalorian crossover with some Western flair, and then some Cad Bane, dual pistols kind of situation. And but it took me a really long time to solidify any of my decisions on what I wanted to build. I started building my kit, my first kit, to join the Mercs in 2014. And I kind of lost steam. I couldn't decide on the design. And just some creative issues and maybe some community issues at the time. And so I took a break. And then I just on a whim kind of started up again and had just been done. I just played through Red Dead 2 again. I've played it like 7 times. So I wanted to do like an homage to some of my favorite characters. My favorite character is Arthur, but you know, he's like too good. So I kind of wanted to do a bad guy. I think Mandalorians inherently are kind of bad guys. Not always, but when you look at some of the old material, I mean, they're hired killers, bounty hunters, warriors, not like super nice people. I know that the show has made a lot of them out to be a lot more honorable and stuff. I dig that, but I wanted to take my character in another direction. So, okay. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Liam, what about you?
So, a little bit about me. I work in environmental conservation, and I wanted to build a kit that reflected that. My kit is a direct translation of the environment in northern New Mexico. I took a job out here in southern New Mexico a couple of years ago. It was a summer gig. And then, you know, we ended up moving back to Florida, but I was still like very moved and motivated by the landscape out here. So much so that while I was still in Florida, I was, you know, designing this costume. And part of that was how the colors kind of work together. I wanted to build a kit that would blend seamlessly into this. I like the idea of doing a scout build, something kind of camouflaged. So if you look on my kit, the orange that is on the outside edges of the lower abdomen plate into the beige stripe is, you know, Mesa Country working up into sandstone, and then moving up into the dark green was supposed to be the you know, mixed conifer ecosystem in the high country. You know, it was very inspired by the landscape here, but I also wanted to kind of play around with you know, a cowboy aesthetic as well. I felt like it was fitting for the landscape. Hence the poncho. You watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly once, and it's like, oh shit.
I'm a poncho guy now.
Who's not? Poncho's the best.
They're so useful.
Yeah.
I will say, Liam, from one maker to another, I really appreciate the side of your helmet, the damage.
Thank you.
That's chef's kiss, my friend.
what happened with that was I spent all this time and money on a really nice chrome paint job, and I was like, well, I'm going to cover this up, so I might as well make it look gnarly.
Yeah. I spent so much time convincing him to actually go through with his paint job because he was like in love with the chrome. I was like, dude, you can't just be Django. You have to stick to the plan. And he did. And it was, dude, seeing it in person is something special. Like, I love my armor. Liam's in person is like mind blowing. It's crazy.
Nice. Yeah, they look great from afar.
Mine looks good from afar. His looks crazy up close.
My inspiration for my I just started, so my helmet I finished today, but my overall inspiration is I've been a Batman cosplayer until now. So dark and moody, and my second favorite comic book character of all time is Negan from The Walking Dead.
It's gonna
be black with a little bit of red, but not where you expect it, and some silver for like the zipper from his leather coat. So
you doing the bat? Oh, that looks really good.
So here's the helmet, and the rest of it's going to be pretty much the same paint, but I'm going to add some red. Like, Tom, your flak vest has a little bit of, it's a black, right, with a little bit of, is it tan?
Yeah, it's like a very light brown.
Yeah, so I'm going to do something very similar, but just like with a little bit of red piping in it.
Nice.
And I got some red lights to go inside my helmet to light down. So it'll light up like this area.
Are you gonna do like a Star Warsified Lucille?
I have thought about it. I actually
you totally should.
I could
like a baton or something.
Yeah, I really would like to do that. That'd be really cool. I have the pulse rifle, the Mando's pulse rifle.
Oh, right on.
Just wrap it in some Star Wars style barbed wire. that'd be insane.
That'd be cool.
So yeah, like, I mean, where can people see your stuff, like your kits, like on social media?
I mean, primarily. So we've got the Rogues has an Instagram page for just kind of showing off new members that we've gained and the stuff that our members are working on. We also have a website. It's www.roguesofmandalore.com, and that's where we actually have full, basically everybody that goes through our application process gets a card on the website. So you'll go to our members tab, and then there's a gallery, and then you go to like the coverts, which are basically just our chapters. So there's like a Pacific Coast covert. That's where I'm in California. So if you click on that, you'll see a picture of me. You'll see my character's name, my ID number, and then like whatever other designations I have. And you can kind of click through it, and it's like a carousel of just spinning Mandalorians, and you can see all of the members per area, and it's really cool. It's something that I know when Liam and I started the club, we really wanted to make sure that everybody that joined got their time in the spotlight and got to show off a little bit and have a physical representation of them on the website. I think is really special, and I'm really proud of that, and I think Liam is too. We love our members, and anything we can do to give back to them, because they make our club so special. When we were starting it, we were just a couple of friends that wanted to hang out and build stuff together and talk about it. Now it's like, I think the Discord went from like 100 members to 200 members overnight in like a couple of days, and we're just gaining more and more people, and everyone's so awesome. It's really great.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we started recording, how I had to turn off the notifications for the Discord, because it's just nonstop. It's nonstop.
Yeah, it is.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's really cool that there's this community of people who want to, A, build these things, and B, be with other people who want to do this. Because it's seemingly rare to find someone in IRL, as the kids say, who want to do this. When you find your people online, it's an incredible feeling.
It is. By the way, Negan's like in my top 10 favorite characters ever too. So up solid.
Oh, nice. Oh, this is great. This is great radio. But I got this because nice. When it first went on sale, it was signed by Robert Kirkman.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
There's like 100 pages of Negan quotes on here, and like every page, there's at least 4 F bombs.
There's got to be.
That's his MO. Yeah. Big fan of Negan. So for me, it's Star Wars, Batman, Walking Dead. It has been for hundreds of years, it seems like.
Yeah.
So what about you guys? What are your other fandoms aside from Star Wars? Or do you have any? Or are you just Star Wars, baby?
I mean, for me, Star Wars is kind of an outlier for me. It is the one that I spend like the most like emotional energy in. I love crappy horror movies. Like, I really enjoy like lowbrow bullshit horror movies that, you know, I probably can't really talk about in a public forum like this.
You're gonna get us in trouble, like, dude.
What's that?
You're gonna get us in trouble, dude.
I know. I enjoy silly like displays of special effects Alien is a big one for me, not that that's a silly display of special effects by any means, but I love the Alien franchise. Hellraiser is one of my favorites. And, you know, outside of Star Wars, I'm not a beast collector, just generally, as a speaking nonsense. And then there's Star Wars, which is just like, you know, silly space cowboys and, you know, space wizards and not any of the other things, not even remotely similar to any of the other things.
So Star Wars is obviously the big one, but I have way too many franchises that I love. I'm a huge D&D guy, so I play D&D almost every weekend. And I'm a special education teacher, and I run a D&D club at work for my kids, which has been really cool and really rewarding. Walking Dead, love Walking Dead. I haven't finished the show because I was frustrated. Like season 7 kind of was, I'm stuck in season 7, so I'm trying to get through it. I do love the show. It's just been a little bit of a drag. But my biggest ones are probably like Lord of the Rings, huge fan. I love DC, primarily the Bat family, huge Bat family guy. I have a Red Hood cosplay that so I do. Oh, no way. Right. Yeah. That's awesome. We should link up and do some pictures sometime. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I have, Rebirth. Jason.
Oh, nice. Mine's kind of mine's like a mashup of, I think Rebirth and Injustice, I think is what it is. I don't know. He's got so many looks and stuff to.
Yeah.
Marvel. Superheroes are kind of a jam. I know Liam probably laughed at me for that, but I love Marvel characters a ton. DC's always been more of my thing comics wise, but movies, Marvel has it in the bed stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Besides that, fantasy. I'm just a huge fantasy guy, like The Witcher. I'm actually writing a fantasy novel right now. I'm trying to get it self-published soon. So that'll be pretty cool. Too much to count. Too many special interests.
You basically just described my entire collection.
Oh, cool.
I have Geralt's sword. God, what's the name of it? Steel? Is it Steel?
No. I don't think it has a name. He's got a silver and a steel one.
Yeah, so the bigger one. I have the bigger of the two.
Okay. Cool.
That I put together. And then I have a massive Batman collection, huge Star Wars collection. I was telling Liam before we started, I have 29 helmets now across Star Wars, DC, Power Rangers.
Whoa, that's a lot.
It's a lot. It is incredible.
that's awesome.
I come home from work and I'm just like, what am I doing? So many helmets.
Enjoying your life. There's no shame in enjoying yourself. Yeah.
I spend a weekend dusting helmets.
You can't let them accumulate dust. I have a box full of Star Wars Black Series figures that I need to go through. Because I used to, like, I had a shelf and I would just, like, pose them and play with them and stuff. And then we moved and I never unpacked them. But I really would like to get into the sideshow stuff, like the 1/6, I think. Getting like a Cad Bane or like the new Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett one. Oh, do you have one?
Is
that Mythos? Oh man, that's so cool.
And then over there I have Clone Wars Season 7 Ahsoka, and I have Episode 1 Din Djarin. So this podcast is primarily a collecting podcast. We talk about our ridiculous obsession with collecting, so anytime you guys want to talk about toys, feel free.
Absolutely.
So you guys can just see what's behind me here. I have Funkos. I have a Darksaber, Lola, tons of books. There's a Batman right there, like, literally right there.
Nice.
So we are collectors and we enable each other horribly. Yeah. Can you tell how many times we've been recording and then suddenly someone spends $300 on a sideshow figure that probably shouldn't have?
Yeah, I've yet to bite that bullet, but I want to. I need to get the PS5 so I can play Jedi Survivor.
Well, yeah, that's what my co-host Todd is doing right now. So when you're listening to this, Todd, I hope you finish the game.
Every day that I'm not playing it is like, there's this itch that I can't scratch, and it's just growing. And I told my wife that I'm probably just going to bite the bullet and buy one, and she was pretty supportive of it, so it's kind of cool.
There you go. That's the green light.
Yeah, agreed. It's just grappling with my own guilt and self-indulgences now.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about Star Wars here. What do you guys remember? Because when we first started this podcast, we talked about our first Star Wars memory. What was the first Star Wars movie you guys watched? You remember?
My dad took me to see Attack of the Clones when I was 5.
Oh, nice. And
that was, I think, that was the initial push for me into Mandalorians in particular. Jango Fett was hyper-fixated on him for the first four years of my Star Wars fandom.
Yeah.
After that. And I'm going to pull this picture real quick. I don't know if you guys are really going to be able to see it, but this past October was when my kit was first finished. And there's me as Jango Fett for Halloween.
Little baby Jango.
That's awesome. Maybe
20 years later in my own
myself. You are the adult that kid you would be happy to meet.
Exactly. I'm that's been the impetus of all of this is what can I do to make kid me happy?
And that's all we can do.
Continue pushing that. And I think too for me, I was never big into collecting the action figures or really playing with action figures. I was into Lego, and I'm still into Lego. I've still got a lot of Star Wars Lego. I was 5 when Attack of the Clones came out, which was right when Lego Star Wars was really hitting its stride. As far as I'm concerned, I was okay, we've got this momentum going. Let's keep this up. So Star Wars has always been kind of synonymous with this inherent creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the reason why I'm still involved, and still seeking it out, because it is just such a creative venture, and I have to be able to build these costumes so that I can feel I'm contributing to it, even at a minute scale. But yeah, dude, seeing Jango Fett's head get knocked off the time of the when I was 5 was probably
my heartbreaking. That yeah, broke that was, a lot of people.
That was insane. And then I remember watching it, and when Boba picks up the helmet,
head falls out.
I was like, "What's going on here?"
Have you guys seen the video edit where somebody has Temuera Morrison falling? That's horrible. Kills the whole time.
I was hoping that there'd be a Jango in this group and Rogues, so I can convince them to do the umbrella dancing in the rain scene.
Yeah,
dude, you should do it. It should be.
I might. That'd I do awesome. my two blasters are Jango's West Stars, just painted by Kit color. So
nice.
I could do it.
There you go.
What about you? What was your first Star Wars memory?
So last time Liam and I were on a live with our friend Brad, he actually asked us the same question, and I had said at the time that when I was I think I was 6 or 7. My grandpa had the bootleg copy of Empire Strikes Back, and he put it into the VCR, and we just kind of sat and watched it, and it was incredible. But I talked to some people in my family, and they were we took you to see The Phantom Menace a year before that even happened. So apparently it was me going to see The Phantom Menace in theaters when I was 6. Which is, I remember it, and it was huge. Darth Maul was my favorite for years. It was terrible watching him get cut in half, but so awesome when he came back in Clone Wars. Obi-Wan and all of his quippy banter with Qui-Gon, and it was my favorite movie. So that really did encapsulate Star Wars for me, which is so funny because, I was a tiny child, but that's who those movies were made for, is children.
Yeah.
So I'm very internally conflicted because, I, for so long, believed that it was the walker, the AT-ATs on Hoth, advancing towards the Rebel base, was my first, cognitive memory of watching Star Wars and being oh my god, I love this. Because that was, my favorite thing forever. I loved that sequence on Hoth. It's probably still my favorite Star Wars thing. It's like my safe place for Star Wars when I'm feeling down. It's either that or I put on Revenge of the Sith, which is silly because it makes me cry every time. But, you know, we do what we got to do.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, this is the time. He's not going to turn.
I know.
He's going to be in it. He's going to be fine.
It kills me, dude. Obi-Wan's like, don't try it. And I'm like, yeah. Don't try it, Anakin. Come on.
He tries it.
Watching the Clone Wars and then watching Revenge of the Sith is like the worst thing you can do to yourself in like a 24-hour period. It's not okay. It's like emotional torture. It's either The Phantom Menace in theaters with my dad or Hoth. And I'm going to say they happened at exactly the same time and pretend like that's what happened. It's the only way I can be okay with that.
I was super late to Star Wars. I didn't watch it until I was 12. But I'm a lot older than you guys are.
How old are you, sir?
So I'm 37.
You're not that. You're only 7 years older than me.
37. That could be wrong. It's somewhere.
That's how you know you're old, though, when you lose track.
Yeah, I guess. I
lost track as well.
But I was forced. I involuntarily viewed Star Wars for the first time. I was on a bus on the back of my eighth grade school trip to DC, ironically, which is where I live now.
Nice.
They put on Star Wars. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to watch this. And the second that Vader and the stormtroopers popped through the Tantive, I literally sat up in my seat. I was like, this is fucking incredible. From that day on, it's been an obsession. And here we are.
Potentially one of my favorite Star Wars moments in general. It's just very iconic. Vader's got to be like the best villain of all time. Undisputed. Anybody that says differently is kidding themselves.
Speaking of villains, and you mentioned it a minute ago when Maul got cut in half, explaining to my casual friends, Star Wars casual friends, that he came back as a spider.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was a really difficult sell for a while.
That first episode, when Savage is going through the weird like trash planet, I was not into that at all. And then I think he gets his like they give him his brain power back in like the next episode. Then I was like, okay, you got me. I was just like, are you seriously going to turn Darth Maul into like a creepy, spazzed out spider person?
Yeah, they did for an episode.
I know. That was a tough watch. I almost turned off the TV, I'm not gonna lie.
We stuck with it and it came full circle and it was incredible.
It really did. Honestly, like from the second episode through to the last episode that he's in Rebels is like heartbreaking. It's horrible.
Clone Wars season 7 was when it came down to him and Ahsoka was so good.
So good, dude.
The unbelievable urge to not build a full-size Jedi sarcophagus that the Mandalorians have is real. It's real. I really want one. Like, I really want one.
That would be really cool.
That's the curse of a maker, though. Like, you see something cool, and you're like, you know, I can make that.
That is frustrating.
And then you make it, and you have, like, a billion things in your house. And you're like, what's going on? How'd this happen?
Yeah, they pile up.
Literally. All right. What else are we going to talk about here? So Rogues of Mandalore mentioned the website. They can check you guys out on social media. I think you guys are on Instagram only, right?
Yeah. I think we're going to expand in the next couple of months and probably push into Facebook or Twitter. I'm probably not Twitter, honestly, but we'll see. It's just right now I'm the only one kind of managing the socials. Mm-hmm. So, if we get some more people on board, then we can probably do that. It's tough to just like moderate like multiple pages. Keep them all up.
Oh, I know. I know.
I bet.
So the process when someone applies, you guys have armors that approve, or is it just you two? Or is it you two and others?
It's a team of five. So it's Liam, myself, our friend Jake, Max, and then we just added another guy named Nathan, and he's great. He's been around basically since day one and is very knowledgeable. He and his girlfriend, is May his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think they were married, but May is also. Yeah, I know. I should know this. I know they're like two of my best friends. May is also amazing. She's one of our moderators, and she's kind of like been helping out with a lot of the web management stuff. It's been really helpful.
Oh, nice. So it's good that your team is growing to help with the expansion, because it can get overwhelming quick. And so having a good team that you can rely on is super positive. So I'm happy to hear that you guys have that going for you.
Yeah, and one of the things that we focus on with I don't mean to cut you off, but one of the elements that we really focus on when we're in the process of armor approval is more of a checklist. So, you know, one of the things that I came to realize about some other organizations is that there's a lot of personal opinion for aesthetic. And I do not feel that we are in any position to police what people think is cool. You know, like there's definitely like, you know, there's an aesthetic to Star Wars and it's pretty tangible. I think that like the outside edges of it are a little bit fuzzy. And as long as people are, you know, hitting the bare minimum for the CRL, the costume requirement list, you know, we're not in a position to say like, oh, like, unless it's like really far out there, right? We're not in a position to say like, you know, oh, that, you know, one piece on your entire costume is not, you know, Star Wars enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, more of just like moving down the checklist, and also as we continue to grow, going through that model helps to eliminate any discrepancy in so far as how the mission is like carried out, right? So you just say, this is your checklist, go down the list, check all the boxes. If they check the boxes, they're good. If they don't, write an email that says, hey, we realize that you're missing this part, here's how we can help you with it. You know, it's been much more about like creating a more like positive environment that is focused on the build itself and the joy of
making. So if somebody submits an application and I don't know how many, let's say there's 10 checkpoints for you, 9 of them are great, but 10 is not quite there. You don't just like blanket no, go away. You say, hey, this needs altering. Here's how to do it. Come back to us when you're done. Yeah.
So what we've been doing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We've had instances where people are like almost there and they miss like one very minor detail. And we're not going to say like, absolutely not, you know, here's a laundry list of things that need to be changed. It's like, you know, you look great. We're going to approve you, but please, if you are to, you know, go to a troop with us in your name, make sure that you have these small items amended before, you know, before that happens. And I think that's been a really like positive change for people. You know, other agencies or other organizations are not really, you know, into some of them don't appear to have the soft skills down to, you know, a fine science. And I think that the armor team here has really managed to hit the nail on the head there.
Tom, are you going to say something?
So I was just going to add that like a lot of like what we've been doing for just to expand on what Liam was saying, if people apply, like you said, and they hit 9 out of 10 checkboxes, we've been saying, this is what you need to fix. Typically, it's something minor. Like the two things that we get the most are people don't cover up this little bit of their neck and like laces, exposed laces on their boots. And those are both so easy to fix that we feel that like, hey, as long as you cover those up, you're good, you're approved. Let's just make sure we do that before we go trooping. And that's been like a huge, I think for us and for a lot of, for the people that have been applying that we've spoken to, has been like a huge breath of fresh air that we're lenient and we're willing to help. I mean, a very large reason as to why we kind of have been so lenient and flexible with our costume requirements are that a large majority, or not maybe not a majority, but a large number of our members, including I think myself and Liam, are both in some way on either an autism spectrum, or we have some sort of mental, emotional, or physical disability. And trying to be helpful and allow those people with those issues to have a space where they can come in and still troop as a Mandalorian, even if, like, hey, maybe they need to wear specific like types of clothing, or maybe they can't wear certain clothing, like duck cloth is like a huge sensitivity for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So using alternative cloth for their, like if they can't use like leather or something, using alternatives is like something that I haven't seen accessible in a lot of the other clubs. And that's not to disparage the other clubs at all, because that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to compete. We want to work in tandem with the other clubs, especially the Mercs, to grow and help them grow. And but a lot of people have been that have come over have said things like, you know, I can't wear that. I do have the sensitivity, and giving them a place where they can be a Mandalorian and be a part of a group and be a part of a community and troop with us and give back to the community that has given so much to us and to them has been huge for us. Like, I just got done doing an autism services event with one of our members a couple, like at the beginning of April, so last month. And it's really great to be able to see our club grow and give back and be so, I keep saying lenient, and that's not like the best word, but like understanding.
Inclusive. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Inclusive, understanding, however you want to say it. We all love Star Wars, and we all just want to, Liam always says, we all just want to play a fancy plastic spaceman dress up. Yeah. And that's like, our whole shtick is we just want to help people do that in the best way they can.
The other thing too, and Tom, if you don't mind me jumping in real quick.
No, not at all.
When I was writing the CRLs, there was I noticed that there is a pay to win mentality in Star Wars costumes. You know, that is not a reflection on anybody. That's just kind of the way that these things go. And I'm looking around. I'm very fortunate, right? I was able to do a capitalized clear coat on my Beskar, and I was very proud of that. Very fortunate to be able to do that. I recognize that not everybody has that same, you know, ability and has that same availability to do those sorts of things. So for me, it was also, you know, how can we, let's kill two birds with one stone. How can we make this accessible for people in a physical and emotional sense, but also in a budgetary sense? If I don't have, you know, $5,000 to throw down on a screen accurate Boba Fett, but I still want to be a Boba Fett, as far as I'm concerned, if it looks like a Boba Fett and it walks like a Boba Fett, chances are likely it's a Boba Fett, right?
And people are going to see that, and they're going to know that it's Boba Fett. And there's levels to, like, the Boba Fett is the most intricate, I think, of the Mandalorian costumes, depending on the iteration. Allowing people to come in and be Boba Fett in our club at a level that is maybe not up to like Merc's standards, but it still reads Boba Fett, I think is very important. Like you said, I'm also very fortunate. And what's really great about the Discord and the community that we're active in is, as it has grown, we have basically gathered a horde of helpful people who have knowledge of printing, who can render and create files, individualized files for 3D prints, and will print those files for members who are less fortunate. And that has been amazing. To shout out one member in particular, our friend Zach, he's printed a lot of stuff for a lot of rogues for like the cost of plastic. And you see, because for me, when I was starting, I would go onto Etsy and I would say, okay, I need a helmet. The cheapest 3D printed helmet I can find is $90. I guess I'm spending $90. I guess that means that I'll have to wait next month to get my gauntlets or to get my knees or whatever, because every piece is about $100. you wind up spending like $1,000 if you don't have a community that can support you. And so our community has, we have members like Wampra at Mando. He's making knives for people, props to give to, just to give because he's a good guy. And that has more often than not been the case for our members, is as most of our members are willing to, oh, hey, you need your gun printed? Okay, just, you know, shoot me $20 and I'll print it for you, no worries. Yeah. And I think that's what makes our club so special, is even as we get larger, not that we're exceptionally big, but we are growing, even as we get larger, our members are still looking after one another, especially in like the local communities. And I'm sure that's something that you see across the board, but it's not something that I've ever seen. Somebody in Minnesota has printed something for somebody in California and said, yeah, hey, just send me shipping costs and I'll do it for you, no worries. And I think that's fantastic. And we support other people who work with foam. Foam is a huge medium.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that. Like, I'm a Batman cosplayer. I did the mech suit. It's all foam. It's all EVA foam. And I understand why there's some groups that don't like EVA foam, because not everybody can work EVA foam to a point where it looks incredible.
Sure.
To look screen accurate, I should say. But it is a skill that you can learn, and it's relatively cheap. As long as you're not buying foam after foam after foam because you keep messing up, which I did when I first started.
Of course.
Yeah, EVA foam is a very easy skill to pick up, and I was very appreciative when I saw your guys' materials that it was on there. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, everything is, you have to learn. There's a lot of trial and error. I've cracked more 3D printed parts than I haven't. Most of my stuff has been broken in one way, shape, or form. During my last troop, I snapped one of my knees, and I've had to repair that. And it's all a learning process. And I think that when you said that, like, foam being more accessible, but it does, some people can't work it to that point. Because we allow people to build with foam if they want to for our club, I think that helps to grow their skill. As they get better and better, and we have people that work foam. I don't know how to pronounce her username, but BK, she's one, Liam and I, a good friend. She is an amazing foam smith, and she has talked to me about specific, like, talent or techniques in the past that just, like, in passing, I've picked up and been like, oh my gosh, that's so helpful, and I don't even work with foam. So it's good that I really like that we allow that, because I think that if that's your preferred medium, even if you aren't to like a skill level that you want to be, being part of the community means that you're eventually going to be able to get there, because everyone's willing to help, and it's you should be allowed to. I mean, if you can make it look like metal, I've seen foam Iron Man cosplays that make my armor look terrible. So it's all relative.
My camera keeps unfocusing and it's driving me insane.
Oh, so that's weird.
If I do this, it sometimes focuses.
I thought you were just doing like cheers, and I was like, oh yeah, here you go.
Come on. We're leaving all this in. This is good. This is quality radio here.
Yeah, 100%.
Come on.
If it's any consolation, I think you look fantastic.
Just blurry?
No, you don't look blurry to me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe it's just my screen then. That's
I think so. Up. Yeah, I was going to say you look fine.
It's fixed now.
Oh, good.
It's all fixed now. Jeez. So yeah, EVA foam is tricky, but if anyone's listening to this because they are in the Discord, they don't know if they want to or if they can build a suit, you absolutely can. You can build anything, really, honestly, if you just try. Because I wasn't always a maker. I was an artist. I started out as an artist, drawing Star Wars for years and sitting in. So the whole reason I started cosplaying is because I was sitting in Artist Alley. And when you're in Artist Alley, you have there's a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
Between rushes, so I would just see cosplayers walk by and people taking pictures, and I'm like, man, I really want to do that. Like, that'd be really cool, like build a costume. So yeah. I decided my first one was going to be the giant Batman mech suit, head to toe armor, first time I ever tried to use foam. I did it in 3 months, but the first month was just awful. Nothing looked right. I didn't know how to heat form. I didn't know how to use the contact cement properly, which blew my mind when I realized what I was doing wrong. It's glue, but you have to let it dry before it sticks. So once I figured that out, it was sailing after that. But yeah, EVA foams, it's easy to come by. It's easy to work. So if you have questions, ask the group. If you join the Discord, people are there to help for sure.
It sounds like they should ask you.
Hey, I'm a resource. I joined this community to build a suit and be a resource. So I'm here. Yes. And apparently I have a brother named Jake that I just met in the group named Jake the Maker.
Jake the Maker. Yeah. He's a good guy.
All right, fellas. I don't think I have any more questions for you. Anything you guys want to talk about? Anything you want to mention? You have your own personal socials you want to throw out there for people to see your suit, or any encouraging words for potential prospects?
Tom, you want to go first? You got anything?
I feel like all I do is talk, and you go ahead, man. I talk too much.
You can find my work on Instagram and Instagram alone. My handle is TFaceCowboy. That is T as in Teva, our dear friend Carson Teva of the Rangers of the New Republic. TFaceCowboy. Got a lot of good stuff coming up. Rose of Mandalore is really popping off. We've got a photography camping trip coming up in the next couple months. I will be doing a couple of different conventions across the country just to meet some of the Rogues and get out to more conventions. I'll be in Dallas Fan Expo next month, and I might be in San Diego Comic-Con in July. Undecided yet. Still working on that.
If somebody has a ticket and they're not going to go, please sell it to Liam, because we were going to go together. That was going to be like a big reveal. We were working on new kits together. So if you're not going to go, please reach out to at TFaceCowboy, please, because I want to hang out with my friend.
And hopefully not get my car towed this time.
Yeah, for real. He came out, Liam came out to my house, was it last month or 2 months ago?
It was like 2 months ago now.
It was like two months ago. We had, it was for WonderCon. Yeah. And we had two ridiculous things happen over the course of that weekend. First, he parked in our guest parking, which we have never had anybody get towed. And he got towed immediately. It was like within hours. And we woke up and we were like, oh my God. So we were trying to go to the con, but we had to get his car back first. So it was like a whole problem. And then we got to the con and I forgot like half of my kit. So I didn't even get to suit up, which is probably good though, because this dude was dehydrated the whole time and like red in the face. So I was basically water boy. Which was fun. I got to meet a bunch of awesome people, so that was really cool. And then so after that, we're like, okay, that sucks that we didn't get to kit up together. Let's do a photo shoot. So my friend Nick takes us out to a park in Vista, and we go to get our photos taken, and we're there for like an hour, and a police helicopter out of nowhere just starts circling ahead and calling out to the costumed individuals down below, you need to step out into the tree, out of the tree line, please. somebody had called
body armor.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, the costumed individuals in body armor. It was the three, I forget exactly what it was. The three of us. So we all come out. My buddy Nick looks like he's about to piss his pants. Liam and I are basically like in our armor. Like we might as well die this way. Like that's the coolest way to go out. We go out and they're like, you didn't do anything wrong. It's totally fine. Somebody just called the cops. We have to make sure you're fine. Which was like, then why did you send a helicopter?
It was yikes.
Terrifying. Yeah, it was crazy. Lots of fun. So the moral of the story is, if you come to a con that Liam and I are at, you're going to have an insanely terrible, awesome time.
You're going to be miserable, but you're going to be happy about it.
Exactly. It's torture, but it's the kind of torture you want.
It was the most fun I've ever had while dealing with insurmountable
firepower.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing. Yeah.
There it was, really scary.
Your division of the just the PD.
Yeah, because we went back to our spot where we were taking pictures, and there's like 10 police officers rifling through our gear. Oh, we were like, it's all plastic, we promise. And they were like, yeah, it's fine, no worries.
They didn't even
we're like, no worries. What's that?
They didn't even want the stickers.
Still. I know, we were like, do you guys want to take pictures? And they're like, no, we're fine, thank you.
Perfect. That's when I usually hit people with the rifle again. I'm a Star Wars.
We were a Star Wars.
I was telling before you hopped on that I've only had the cops come once to my apartment or my place because I was working on a very realistic looking gun in the yard.
Shoot.
I was like, It's just plastic.
I'm a costumer. Please don't shoot me.
I make dumb stuff. You're going to love it.
That's all we do. Do you want to take pictures? Do you want to hold it?
Do you want to not arrest me, please?
Please don't shoot us.
All right. I mean, I think that's a great spot to wrap up. Please don't shoot us. But thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for creating this community. That's been super inclusive. I super appreciate it. And a lot of people, I'm sure, are going to appreciate it once they learn more about your organization. Thank you again for coming on. And for everyone who has listened to this episode, just remember the force to be with you always.